Welcome to Sports Chat. I'm your host, Matt Muncy.
This is Brock Stafford, and we're bringing it to you once again. We're going to be talking NBA playoffs this week, and we've had such an interesting opening series so far this weekend, and game two for a couple teams was tonight, but we want to kind of talk what's going on in the series and where we think it's going to keep going, at least for this first round.
Exactly. First up, Miami, New York. Going into the series, you know, we could have maybe saw New York put up a little bit of an effort. They do have Carmelo. They do have Amari. You know, once D'Antoni was fired and Carmelo was put in at power forward, he kind of took over the games, scoring 30, 40 points at will. Amari was out, and he kind of took over that team. They were winning 7 in a row, just dominating. Amari comes back, and now that team's kind of in shambles. First game, you know, They got ran out of the building. I mean, there's nothing more to say.
No, I mean, they got dominated from rung to rung. And really, it was not even close. Carmelo was out there scoring and shooting. But they weren't getting much from anybody else. Now, that is a big key of it. He had the flu. Lynn is still out. You know, Lynn hasn't been playing nearly as well since D'Antoni left. However, you know, his presence has actually been an improvement at the point guard rotation for New York this year. So, I mean, it was not those guys that were really affecting the game, which I think they could have played important roles for the series.
Yeah, I wouldn't say Anthony was scoring. He was 3 of 15, missed his first 7 shots, scored 11 points. Amari Stoudemire, 2 of 7 with only 9 points. Schumpert goes down in the game, torn ACL, done for the rest of the playoffs.
Which for me, I actually think that's one of the biggest losses for that team.
It is. He was their best perimeter defender. And I mean, he was on Wade. Yeah. So, and like you said, Jeremy Lin sat out. You know, that's kind of big because Lin was kind of that linchpin that kind of put this offense on the map when he took off with Lin's sanity. He went down. They continue to thrive because of Carmelo, but now with Amari back, it's kind of stuck in that spot where they're both trying to get shots, and they just don't have that defined number one guy anymore.
Does this go back to our argument at the beginning of the season? Getting Amari and Carmelo is not good for that team. I just think the guys both want the ball too much, and Amari has really not been playing his game in New York. I think going to New York, you know, we had questions about his abilities. He's not that great of a rebounder. You know, he needs the ball to score. I mean, does this kind of solidify the fact that, you know, this whole New York experiment is really for naught?
And, you know, I kind of think so. You know, Amari just hasn't really shown up this year. I mean, you look at game two, I mean, okay, he scored 18 points, but, you know, we'll get to it here in a second. He might have just put himself out for the rest of the series. You know, looking back, going over to the Heat side, they won this game 100-67. This wasn't even close. This game was over at halftime. LeBron had 32 points. Wade had 19. Done. Chris Bosh wasn't even a factor in this game. Neither was really anyone else. That's all you needed. Those two played out on their mind.
I mean,
no, they didn't. I mean, they got enough support from everyone else, and they got enough support from the New York Knicks not being able to make a shot that they really didn't need to run all that hard or really do anything else.
Well, you know? and you look now. We had game two that finished up a little bit ago. You know, like I said, Schumpert going down with that ACL injury, which 6 to 8 months that guy's going to be out is just terrible, because he was finally starting to get his rotation back as you know, that kind of defensive stopper and that key bench guy who they've really needed all season. But him going down, you know, you saw Dwayne Wade had 25 points tonight. I mean, I think that makes a difference when you have nobody who can really defend it or who has any interest in defending. You know, with the New York Knicks. And really, all it takes is LeBron or Wade, or, you know, the combination of the two to go off. You know, Chris Bosh is nice, but like anything else, Chris Bosh is kind of the extra guy. He's really the insurance for the Heat this this year as they go for the championship.
Yeah, kind of. You know, when it comes to the Knicks, they don't have anyone to guard Wade now. Josh Smith doesn't know how to play, or J.R. Smith doesn't know how to play defense as it is. Landry Fields, sorry, Dwayne Wade's gonna wipe that dude with the floor. Wade, like you said, 25. Bosh stepped up though. Bosh had 4 points in the first game. I think he had four. 21 tonight. 21. I mean, he didn't really do anything else. You know, 4 assists, 4 rebounds, but 21 points. He had more than LeBron James. LeBron had 19. LeBron did have 7 rebounds and 9 assists, but you know, Melo was what brought this team back. They played Melo ball tonight. 30 points. He didn't come out struggling.
What?
He came out firing, and you know that 12. I mean, he took 26 shots, but he hit 12 of them. He was the only one hitting anything. So
the question for me though is, can you win a title playing Melo ball? I don't think you can. Even if you surround him with players, Carmelo has to shoot, and he is a worse offender than Kobe Bryant because the guy never saw a shot he didn't like.
I know.
Kobe at least knows how to draw fouls and get to the line. I just don't think Melo's style works for that.
My thing, if you put Melo on the Denver Nuggets right now, you get rid of Nene, you put Gallinari back on the Knicks, and you put him in that small forward role with Kenneth Faried, I think that team is a lot better. If he can consistently do what he does, I don't see why they can't contend. Because the thing is,
but the reason he burns out coaches is because he plays such a selfish style ball. There's a difference between scoring points and actually making a difference on a game, and scoring points and them being hollow.
Yeah,
and I think,
but you know
his
what?
Contributions are hollow
but
points.
But it's funny that you say that. He scored 30 points tonight. He's the only one on this team who can shoot worth anything. But I love how no one said anything during the 7-game winning streak when he was going for 30 a night. There was no, oh, he's not passing the ball. Oh, he's not playing defense. You know, when everything's going right, everybody loves this dude. The minute that they lose a game and yet he still scores 40 points, it's he's not passing the ball. He's taking too many shots. He's a ball hog. He can't get anything done. He doesn't play defense. Like, there's such a double standard with Carmelo, and it has been his whole career. And it's kind of getting that point where he kind of has no identity, because he's going to have to take the shots. He's the only one on this team that can shoot the ball. There is no – what are you going to have Steve Novak take 20 shots a game? Give me a break. Jared Jeffries? J.R. Smith is not a Carmelo Anthony.
J.R. Smith may be possibly a worse shooter.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that guy never saw a three. He didn't like Chuck.
Do you want Landry Fields taking all the shots? No. Baron Davis? No. You don't even want to see Tyson.
Fields at least is efficient usually when he shoots.
He was 1 for 5. He scored 2 points tonight. He hasn't really done much. You don't want Tyson Chandler really shooting a ton. If he's getting open looks underneath the basket, go ahead. And I mean, Amari's Amari. Yeah, and I mean, Amari's Amari. He's going to get his shots. He's going to, you know, get some points here and there, but it's not going to be anything significant usually.
Well,
so you have to let Carmelo be Carmelo
right now. Finishing up about the Knicks Heat series tonight after the game, I'm sure that Amari was not too happy because he ended up lacerating his left hand, according to some sources on ESPN, and he may be done for the series. From what they said, they don't expect him to be able to go next game. And, he may be out for the series. And considering that the Heat are probably, from what everything we've seen so far, I don't see any reason the Heat couldn't sweep this series. I mean, does this even put more pressure on doing something with Amari next season? I mean, is there anything they can do? I think they've already used their amnesty.
Well, yeah, they use their amnesty on Chauncey Billups. No one's going to want to take Stoudemire's contract. They're kind of stuck with him now. You know, it was their the Knicks' 12th straight playoff loss. I'm pretty sure they broke a record with that. So yeah, I'd probably go punch something too if I was Amari. You know, taking it out on glass on a fire extinguisher, not the smartest thing in the world, especially now that he could have, you know, basically ruined the whole rest of the series for himself. I mean, they only had two games. Even with Amari, they're getting swept. I'm sorry, they're getting swept. Well, but I'm calling it right now. Melo and Lin's going to come back for this third game. It's going to be a lot closer. If Amari's out, this is going to be a lot different team.
My question is, if, you know, with Shumpert going down, you know, that's one injury. Chandler came back this game from having the flu, so that they got that piece back. Lin looks like he's going to be coming back in the next game or two. Did they have a chance to at least steal a game in this series if they had, you know, Amari healthy, Lin back, Chandler playing well? I think they could have at least taken a game in this series. I think Amari kind of, you know, not that they were going to have a huge chance, but I think, you know, Amari could have thought about that a little bit more. So
maybe, but here's how I run this lineup for game three. If Amari's out and Lin's back, you put Jeremy Lin at the point. Maybe put Baron Davis at the two, or probably just go with I would almost start J.R. Smith just because he can score though. He can run the floor. Jeremy Lin, they played pretty well together.
But they have no bench scoring.
I know that, but it doesn't matter. You're not gonna have any bench scoring anyways. You put J.R. Smith there. Gonna change it up here. Either you go Landry Field at the three, or you go Steve Novak at the three. Because here's the thing. Your bench isn't doing anything to begin with when you're only playing four deep and they're not scoring anyways. So Steve Novak, get that guy in there shooting threes. He was the best, he was the most efficient three-point shooter in the league this year. He had the best percentage.
Because it's going to be wide open if you play Melo at the four.
Exactly. That's my thing. And Melo would toast Chris Bosh all day. He would just run him everywhere and just run him ragged. You're not going to stop him. They're going to have to put LeBron on him. Then you got Novak being covered by Bosh, and Novak's just going to line up for threes all day. And then you just put Chandler on Haslam, and it's not going to do anything.
And the Miami Heat still win.
Well, yeah, probably.
This conversation now with the fact that the Miami Heat are playing some of the best defensive basketball in the league right now. LeBron definitely could be Defensive Player of the Year for what he's been doing. To really turn his game into a, you know, offense, defense, two-way player. Enough said. The Heat are moving on in the series.
That they are. And kind of moving on, who they're going to play next. Pacers, Magic. This is our team, you know, the Pacers. Growing up in Indy, this is who we've been rooting for since day one.
That's
game
right.
Game one took us back to the 90s. Took us back to 95.
Orlando, ooh, Indiana.
That was I watched the fourth quarter of that game, and I have to say I've not been that stunned in a very long time. You have a lead. You have a 77-70 lead with 4 minutes to go in the game, and you let them score 11 straight points to lose. 11 straight.
You don't answer at all.
No. I mean, you don't even come close. All they did was jack up three-point shots. Like, for whatever reason, in that last 4 minutes, Hibbert couldn't hit a shot within close. David West, who had 18 points and just had his way with Glenn Davis, couldn't hit anything in the post. Granger and George couldn't hit a three. One of the last second, like, with, like, 10 seconds to go, Carlson threw up, like, some junk shot. That dude just needs, I'm sorry.
Didn't he dribble out the ball for a good 20 seconds?
Yeah, he was dribbling around, it looked like he was trying to find someone, and then he just took a shot. Like, he had no business taking that shot. I don't know. I just don't like Collison. It's been a bad year for me liking Collison. And well, George Hill stepping up big time. That's another argument for another day. But George Hill, you know, he was big in the first game too. But the Pacers just got outplayed. I mean, they came into our house and scored 30 points in the second quarter. They scored 30 points second quarter. And then the Magic scored 30 points the whole rest of the second half.
Now, here's the thing that has to be said. They don't have Dwight Howard.
Yeah.
They don't have Dwight Howard. They don't have the key focal point of their offense and defense, he's not there. Turkoglu just came back from injury where he's wearing a mask.
But
really?
Without Howard, Glenn Davis stepped in and took his spot easily.
We have Roy Hibbert, who is considered one of the best defensive centers in the league, considered one of the better centers in the league in general, and we're not destroying them. I mean, I don't care if we're shooting. You take it to the post against this team. You take it to the post and you don't let up. I mean, I know David West had a really good game, but it's inexcusable to me that, we gave up a game that was so easily winnable. I mean, this, and I'm going to say right now, I give a lot of credit to the Orlando Magic because they played their butts off.
Well, they played Orlando Magic ball. They did inside with Glenn Davis, kicked it right back outside to Ryan Anderson, to Jason Richardson, who was 5 of 8 from three-point range. And he hit two of them within those last 4 minutes that were the most clutch shots I've ever seen someone take. Other than, the greatest players of all time. But, he was clutch. 17 points for Jay Rich. I mean, come on. Nelson had 17 points? Are you joking me right now? And then Glenn Davis.
I think we have two point guards who are better than Jameer Nelson. Legitimately. Think what you want about Collison. Collison is better than Nelson.
Apparently not, because Collison hasn't done squat in the playoffs. And Nelson has only gone on to score 29 points so far. So, I mean...
Here is the big issue. And I'm going to say this even with the fact that the Pacers won tonight easily. It's Danny Granger. It is Danny Granger. And Danny Granger is not the franchise guy that we need him to be. He's disappearing in long stretches.
No. He's not disappearing. There's a difference between disappearing. He's pulling an Anthony, a Kamara. He's trying to play Anthony ball, but instead of actually hitting his shot, he's just completely missing everything, and then not doing anything else. I don't know. That's just my belief. He tries to play like a number one, but he will never be a number one. He was a number one here for his first like 2 or 3 years, until Hibbert developed, George came along, until all these guys came in. Now it's easy to see that he will never be a number one, and he's close to a number two. I mean, he can get in there and do it, but.
Here's the thing that I read Bob Kravitz. Bob Kravitz is a big indie star reporter here in Indianapolis and a well-respected journalist in the NBA community. Bob Kravitz went off on the Pacers and said, look, everybody's talking about Paul George being the guy. He could be a franchise guy one day. Where is he? I think tonight he had a pretty good game. He had 17 points and I believe 8 rebounds. And, the thing about George is he contributes in so many different ways that he makes himself useful even when he's not scoring. But, he scored at such a great clip tonight. I mean, wasn't he 7 for 10, you said?
Yeah, he was 7 of 10, 0 of 2 from three-point range. I mean, that was the biggest thing that killed us tonight. We were 2 for 20 from three-point range. I'm sorry, but if I understand there is that whole saying of keep shooting. Like, even if you're missing, you keep shooting because eventually you'll catch fire. When you shoot 2 of 20, you should probably stop shooting three-point balls. This is not a three-point shooting team. I don't understand why the Pacers try to make themselves out to be a three-point shooting team. They destroyed in the first quarter. They destroyed the Magic by going down low to Hibbert and to West. Now, Hibbert only scored 4 points. He was in a lot of foul trouble. But David West scored like 8 of the first 10 points. Because all they did was kick it down to him, and he manhandled Ryan Anderson. No, Ryan Anderson gave nothing. And then, when they started double-teaming, they were cutting. Danny Granger, Paul George, George Hill, everybody was cutting.
And that is how they have to play. That creates ball movement. That creates open shots. That creates everything you need the Pacers to do. But the problem, again, Danny Granger, 1-for-10 from three.
Yeah, he's taking way too – he's still trying to be the number one guy. He's trying to show off, and it's killing the team.
I'll even give you – Barbosa had 4-for-10 from three. I'm happy if I'm having my bench guy or sorry, he's 4-for-10 from field goal.
I was going to say, he was 0-for-5 from three.
0-for-5. I misread that. Okay. Still, 4-for-10 for your bench guy. Not a bad thing. I don't think that's a terrible thing. David West – had 8 free throws tonight. Free throws were something that killed us. George Hill was 5-for-6. Paul George, 3-for-3. Granger, 3-for-3. You know, we shot really, really well from free throws. We scored almost 90% from the free throw line tonight. That's what we need. We need those extra points because the first game, there was almost nothing going on in the way of free throws. And I think that was a big concern when it came to what we were actually able to produce. And I don't know. I think this series should not be this close.
No, it shouldn't be 1-1. We should be up. The Pacers should be up 2-0 right now. You know, Roy Hibbert had a fantastic first game. 8 points, 13 rebounds, 9 blocks. Bad part is, I'd say over half of that was in the first half. He didn't do jack squat in that second half. I mean, he had 6 blocks in the first half.
Here's what I say.
Hibbert had 8 points first game, 4 points second game. What the hell? What the hell? You mean to tell me you can't score on Glenn Davis? Are you joking me right now?
Foul trouble. I think it was a big issue.
Well, yeah, because he's going for blocks. He's trying to be Serge Ibaka. I feel like they're almost doing too much. Granger is doing way too much, and Hibbert is doing way too much. Like, I almost feel like maybe this is playoff inexperience, which I know is where David West kind of brings that veteran experience. Like,
and Barbosa, I'll give you Barbosa is going to be is a good contribution for that.
Yeah, I mean Barbosa's not bad, but when he's not in the starting lineup, like it just doesn't feel the same. But you look at David West. I mean, David West played 42 minutes tonight, and he was calm. Like, he wasn't erratically shooting. You know, anything like that, like.
But he wasn't shooting well either. He was
no.
5
I mean,
for
he yeah, he went 5-for-14, but I mean that's gonna happen. I mean, at least he's taking 14 shots that are relatively close to the basket.
I'm saying is the Pacers hang to Orlando for the next 2 games,
and I feel like
it's
we're gonna
go at least
it.
5 games.
Yeah, I almost feel like this is gonna go 6. I feel like we will split in Orlando. Just because they're going to come out fired in game 3. And
Orlando's a tough place to play, too.
Is.
I mean,
it really
it's,
is.
It's a very loud arena.
I feel like we split it. I almost, sadly, I could almost see this game going 7 with us taking game 5, them taking game 6, and then us taking game 7. But I do feel like we're going to win this series, and I feel like it's going to be that final hump to really get us past that rebuilding stage. Like, I feel like we're still in rebuilding mode because we can't get out of that first round. And I think the free agency this coming up year is going to really help us with Eric Gordon. But that's kind of where we're at, I think. But I do feel like we will win this series
and then head on to the Heat.
Yeah, again, that's another topic for another day because that one's going to be brutal to watch.
Okay, next series.
Next series. This is your team, the Mavs, against the team that all of us have in the championship game, the Thunder. You know, we made our predictions at the beginning of the year, and we all said it was going to be Heat Thunder for the championship. Mavericks are taking it to them. I mean, there's no other way to say it. The Mavs are playing Maverick basketball now, and they were 36-30 during the regular season, but they lost by 1 point. They lost because Kevin Durant hit a lucky game winner. I mean, it's hard to say it's lucky, but the way that it bounced, it was luck. And, I mean, it's just, that's nuts. Like, where are they coming from? Where is this Maverick team all of a sudden
never count
showing
Dirk
up?
Nowitzki out.
I know.
I'm sorry.
25 points. Sean Marion had 17. Sean Marion had 17 points.
Sean Marion
had 13.
Sean Marion has felt comfortable in that role, and Sean Marion has the ability to step it up when he needs to, and he's stepping it up because he needs to. I think having Delonte West is actually an extremely, you know, big part of their rotation. West was gone for stretches this season, but having Delonte West in here for a consistent, you know, time period is really, really, you know, helping them out. And actually, right now the Mavs are up on the Thunder by 1 point.
I feel like their, you know, biggest Delonte thing West was having Vince Carter and Jason Terry coming off the bench. I mean, they scored 33 points off the bench by themselves. And then Mahimi?
Yes.
He had 6. I almost feel like he needs to be starting. I'm sorry, I've never been a big Brandon Haywood fan, and he's got the dumbest contract in the NBA right now. I feel like
he was brought in for that defensive presence, and he has not played.
I was going to say, what defensive presence?
But again, he's
they
also
had to go sign Tyson Chandler to get defensive presence.
He is a product of the Wizards overpaying him. No.
The Wizards didn't overpay him. The Mavs did. The Mavs gave him that contract. Right. Yeah,
he got the extension when he came to the Mavs.
$56 million contract.
They had Chandler. I think the biggest mistake they made during the summer was not re-signing Chandler and amnestying Hayward.
Yeah,
but they're making the run for next year.
But, I mean, Mahimi had, you know, 4 rebounds, 2 steals, 2 blocks, and 6 points. I mean, he was 1 of 4, but he hit 4 free throws. Like, I feel like he needs to be in these games because he's going to have a little bit better advantage maybe against Perkins, or even maybe not an advantage against Ibaka, but I like that matchup a lot better than I do.
He's a lot faster.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. He gives them a lot more athleticism, where Brandon Haywood is a good matchup for Perkins, because Brandon Haywood is strong, Perkins is strong. You need, you know, if you're going to match up those guys, you're going to match them up, because there are spots where Ibaka will play center, and that's when Mahimi is really, that's what he's there for. Jason Terry having a quiet night tonight. He's only got 8 points, but I mean, you look, Dirk's already got 24 tonight. And, you know, I don't think you can ask him to do much more than that. But, again, this is the issue that I have with the Thunder. The Thunder, as good as they are, as good as their starting lineup is, once you get past their starting lineup, they don't have a whole lot. I mean, Fisher, who has very, very little left in the tank. Collison, I mean, really, Maynard's is out for the season. I mean, Harden. Harden is a great player, and I'm glad Harden was able to get back after that. After he got clipped by World Peace, but I worry so much about the Thunder in a against a deep team that can take it to them. I see in this series all the problems with the Thunder, because the Mavericks, as old as they are, our deep team.
And they are.
They're
but they're, it's not like their starting five is that great. But, I mean, they do. Their starting fives somewhat cancel each other out. Delonte West does have decent games here and there. But it's, you know, so does Cephalosha. Brendan Haywood doesn't do anything, so him and Kendrick Perkins basically nullify each other. And, you know, Dirk's basically on Durant's level. While Jason Kidd doesn't score a lot, he does do other things, so that does put him in Westbrook's level. And, I mean, the biggest thing tonight... the biggest thing tonight... Delonte West has 13, Kidd has 10, Nowinski has 24, Marion has 13, Mahimi has 9, Jason Terry has 8. You almost have 6 guys in double figures. Whereas you... And, I mean, you go down here... The Thunder have 5, but it's like Derek Fisher is one of them. Big whoop. James Harden's only got 9 points, but Westbrook's got 20, Durant's got 21, Cephalosha has 0, Serge Ibaka has 2. Serge Ibaka had 22 points in the first game.
Right now we have Harden, and just so everybody knows, it's let's see, how much time do we have left in the quarter? We're in the fourth right now. The game is still going on. But you know, when you have games when both Harden and Terry, you know, basically perennial Six Men of the Year contenders, are not scoring more than 15 points a game, you know, it's an off night for both of them. I really have to say, I'm shocked because I looked at the stat line for Kidd tonight: 10 points, 6 assists, and 6 rebounds. Did Jason Kidd all of a sudden wake up? Because he's had a terrible season, and that's why I was a little appalled to hear you compare him to Westbrook, because Westbrook is one of those guys that this season he is kind of been his coming out party since he got his extension.
Yeah, except but right for he's now got he's 2 scoring. Rebounds and 2 assists tonight. And
that's
Kidd,
what I'm saying.
Jason
that's,
Kidd had 7 steals in the first game.
And I think that's the veteran experience. And again, you know, we were talking about that a little bit in the Pacers Magic. Veteran experience is gonna kill the Thunder if they don't figure it out. I don't see any situation where the Thunder do not win this series. I mean, can we agree on that?
Actually, no, because I mean that first game. If the Thunder had demolished them like the Heat did the Knicks, I would say that this series is a lock. The fact that it took them a final shot and a lucky bounce. I mean, given Kevin Durant's one of the most clutch players in the NBA right now, so him taking that shot is perfect. But he got a lucky bounce for it to even roll in. The Mavericks shouldn't even be in these games. That's my feeling. The Mavericks should not be in. The Thunder were the third or fourth best team in the league. I mean, the top four teams were all right there next to each other, and then there was like that kind of fall off. The Thunder should be demolishing these guys. Like you said, the Mavericks are
old.
Should. The Mavericks are nothing but old people. They should be running these guys ragged, getting them out of the game. I mean, Jason Kidd should not be playing 30 minutes. I'm sorry. You should be able to run. Westbrook should run him out of this game. But that's the
problem. When the Thunder get frazzled,
yeah.
Westbrook starts shooting way too much. Durant starts shooting off shots.
And tonight, Kevin Durant's 4 of 15. All his points have come from the free throw line where he's 11 of 12. I mean, that's huge. When you're 11 of 12 because you can't hit a shot, and that was the first game too. He couldn't hit a shot the first game either. So I feel like this game might go – or this series might go 6. But it could also go the Pacers route last year against the Bulls where it only goes 5 and the Mavericks sneak in that victory, but every single game is close. Like, they don't let up. Like, they're right there every single time. But I do feel like this could be something big for the Thunder, because I think if the Thunder can overcome the Mavericks playing this tough, that's really going to set them up well against the Spurs, which I think they would play the Spurs in the Western Conference Finals, and I think that's going to set them up, because the Spurs are basically like the Mavericks. They're all really old, but they got a deep bench, and the Thunder will now know how to play against that and have a better understanding of what to do against them when that time comes. But I do think the Thunder will win this series.
I think it would take a miracle for the Mavericks to pull it out. But I think, again, you never know. We've seen way too many teams come from behind. And I think, unfortunately, for the Thunder, they don't match up really well with the Mavs, so I think this could be a series that can be really competitive, and we'll see how that goes. But I again don't think the Thunder don't make it out of here. Let's switch gears. Let's go to Memphis versus Clippers.
Oh, you want to go Memphis Clippers, huh? All right.
Because this is going to be whoever wins this series is going to go Memphis Clippers.
I'm pretty sure after last night's game, I don't understand how Memphis wins. I think the Clippers literally just took everything out of Memphis. That 27 points, are you joking me? When I turned that game on, they were so far down, I turned it right back off. So I was like, this game's over with. And then to wake up the next morning and find out that they rallied from 27 points down to win, that's ridiculous. The Clippers had no point being in that game last night, and yet they walk away with the victory.
I think this is one of those cases of the Grizzlies are an extremely good team, and they walked into the playoffs with everybody saying, this is the team you don't want to play. this is a team you don't want to play.
They did because they had Randolph coming back. They got Rudy Gay this year.
Playoffs.
Yeah. But, I mean, they didn't play that well. I mean, they were literally one game better than the Clippers in the regular season. One game. It's not like this was some huge difference. They were one game better than the Clippers. And I don't know. A 13-point fourth quarter, though, that's what killed the Grizzlies.
Well,
they got outscored 35-13 in the fourth quarter.
And let's just also put this out there. Caron Butler broke his hand.
Yeah, that's going to kill him.
I'll just say this. Caron Butler, for all his deficiencies, actually can score.
And he can play some defense. He's one of the better defenders in the league.
But here's the issue. Butler's out. That leaves Nick Young as your best swingman. Do you trust your future to a kid who shoots way too much and can only score?
Well, considering he scored, well, I mean, yeah, all he can do is score. But he scored 19 points last night.
He did score 19 points.
He led the team. No one else had.
But you know,
yeah, so, I mean, the defense is going to kill them.
And you know, you've seen, you know, the Wizards, Young would go on these, you know, binges where he would just score, and then he would not score for, you know, 10 games straight. And you'd be like, wait, isn't this one of the better shooting, you know, young kids in the league? And he's just maddening in the way that he will show up offensively when he wants to, but I don't know that he has the maturity yet to be able to turn it on and off. And I worry that, you know, there's not going to be that often consistent offensive production. And right now, there's not a whole lot of answers in, you know, the swingman position for the Clippers. That's been their, you know, problem all season. You know, once Billups went down with the injury and, you know, Butler's out now, who do they have other than Ryan Gomes?
Well, I mean, and Ryan Gomes didn't even play last night.
And that's kind of scary. I mean, you look at the fact that this team is basically, you know, if Chris Paul does not turn it on, I mean, and Chris Paul turned it on, but let's just
get that. Chris Paul dominated.
14 points, 11 assists, 4 rebounds, and a steal.
I mean, look at Reggie Evans. 11, I mean, he had 13 points and 7. This is Reggie Evans we're talking about. Are you, like, their bench is pretty depth. They went 5 deep last night, and I'm sure a lot of it had to do once Caron was out of the game.
But let's look at it this way. They've got, basically, playing most of their minutes, they've got around 6 guards and 4 power forwards.
Yeah, they play a lot of small ball, and that's what, and I really think that, you know, that kind of helps them because they get out there, they can run a lot. I mean, Blake Griffin and Chris Paul played 35 and 38 minutes. No one else played 30 minutes last night. So they're getting people in, they're getting people out. You know, it does, their lack of another center kind of hurts them. But I do feel like Kenny Martin can easily step in there and play center.
But and if they need to, Blake Griffin. Unfortunately, though, against the Grizzlies, and I think this series is going to go long, and I really worry about the ability for the Clippers to step it up when this series goes long because they don't have the size. I mean, Rudy Gay, Zach Randolph, and Marc Gasol,
Yeah, but look how many minutes they're playing, though. I mean, Zach Randolph played 32, Gay played 35, Gasol played 36, Conley played 38, Tony Allen played 22, O.J. Mayo played 28. No one else played 20, and they went 5 deep on their bench.
They're going to run them
ragged in this series. They are going to the Grizzlies are a deep team that it almost feels like they don't trust their bench. Like, you could easily play Spates a lot more. The dude had 9 rebounds in 18 minutes. 9 rebounds and 8 points.
But then again, you know, Spates has had a real renaissance since he's moved to the Grizzlies. But I don't know. Again, O.J. Mayo is one of those guys who he turns on, turns off. Gilbert Arenas, are you really trusting, you know,
him
with more than 10 minutes?
That's a no-go. I feel like this is not the same Grizzlies team that took down the Spurs that Did they take down the Spurs last year?
Yeah, they took down the Spurs last year. And
this is not the same team. This is not even close to that same team.
I don't think they're playing as hard or as determined. I think Rudy Gay, I don't want to put it on him because Zach Randolph only scored 6 points last night and he was 3 for 13. But Rudy Gay needs to be your guy. And if Rudy Gay is going to be your guy, he needs to show up and he needs to be consistent. Because, I mean, he was 8 for 20, which is not terrible, I mean, for your guy. But, I mean, Tony Allen, who's been a rather efficient guy, you know, he scores 6. Mike Connolly, 5 for 8, and the guy had 17 points, 8 assists, and 5 rebounds. I mean, you're getting everything you should, and I think this was just a fluke game. I really do, because I think, number one, I think Memphis got overconfident and just shut down and did not know what to do with the Clippers when they started coming back. I still like the Grizzlies in this series because, again, that depth is really going to make a difference when it comes down to it. I mean, is there any other team in the league where you want to play Reggie Evans 21 minutes?
Maybe not, but I'm taking the Clippers in this series, actually. I think they're going to get it done. Chris Paul, you can't just come in and expect to turn around a team, but this team is completely different from last year. Butler going down does hurt them a lot. This next game is going to show us what he really meant to that team. I do think Gomes is going to play. And I do think Nick Young is going to possibly get more minutes.
Do you think they're going to start Nick Young at the small forward position?
Either him or Fournier. One of those two will be at the small
forward. Well, Fournier's shooting guard.
Well, so is Nick Young. I'm just saying they're going to go one of the two routes. I don't know.
I think they could play all three of those guys.
Yeah. So, but I mean, Gomes is going to play more. He's actually going to get to play. At least he should. Unless he's hurt or something, but he should be in this game, and I really think that's going to help. I feel like Chris Paul's probably going to take a lot more on his shoulders now. You know, kind of dying in New Orleans for all those years where they were good, but they weren't great, and he finally has a team built not around him, but he was brought into a team that was built around Blake Griffin that can really, really step up and get it done when they need to, and they're gonna have to outshoot them. I mean, they're not gonna be able to defend them. They're not gonna be able to even maybe outrun them. They're just gonna have to play and outshoot them. I mean, I know that sounds like a madness, but that's the only way they're winning the series is if they can outshoot them and hit. And you know, they were 50% last night. You can't ask for. I mean, that what else do you need to ask for? You're 50% shooting.
I think this game's going to come down to which team can get it done more consistently. I think there's more defense coming from the Grizzlies who can make some stops. And I think they're going to take last night personally, and they're going to make it happen. Do I want to count Chris Paul out? No. But do I think, you know, Conley and Tony Allen are more than capable at trying to at least, if not stop him, slow him down? I really am going to give the edge to the Grizzlies, and I think they get it figured out in, you know, 6 games. We'll say 6 games.
6 games. I could see 6 games. I think it's still going to be the Clippers, though. But what about the other LA team? I mean, the Lakers.
Can we say about Lakers?
Where the hell did Andrew Bynum come from? What was that? 10 points, 10 blocks, and 13 rebounds?
Now, I will say, Bynum this year, and especially the second half of the year, has turned it on.
Yeah.
And he's turned it on hard. He's turned into everything that the Lakers have been saying he's going to turn into for the past 2-3 years. And I think defensively, if you didn't see this coming, you know, you weren't paying attention, because Bynum has been revving up for the past couple months, and I think it's been slowly turning from Kobe, you know, having to do everything, to Bynum starting to get involved more, and I really think it's scary to see what he can do when he puts his mind to it. Like I said, Bynum's all in his head. If you can see Bynum playing like he did
there's not even a question that these guys are going to, they're going to make it really tough for the Thunder to be able to get where they need to be.
And the Lakers, I don't know, man. The way that they played in game one, six guys in double figures, Steve Blake had 9 points. Come on, Jordan Hill had a double-double off the bench. Now, Jordan Hill might not be around for the upcoming games.
That's an issue we'll get to in a second.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's still impressive that he's coming off the bench getting a double-double. You know, Kobe scored 31. Ramon Sessions, who I think has been a huge part of this kind of resurgence for this team, 14. Paul Gasol was 2 assists and 2 rebounds away from a triple-double as well. We almost saw 2 teammates with triple-doubles in this game.
That's insane.
That is insane.
But for the Lakers, does that surprise you? I mean, really? I mean,
that's how it should be almost every game. If Kobe Bryant could put together more rebounds and more assists, if he would pass the damn ball, he could basically be LeBron. LeBron is like a he can do everything. While Kobe can do everything, he chooses not to. And I think last night it showed that Kobe doesn't have to take 24 shots.
But I think Andrew Kobe Bynum took 7. I mean, I think the fact that Bynum was able to do that, he's showing that he can be in a supporting role, because he's been actually scoring 20 plus points for a while. And I think the fact that he only scored 10, but he contributed in 2 of them extremely major ways, just goes to show you that, you know, the reason they have Gasol and Bynum right next to each other is because those guys are extremely, extremely, you know, talented players down on the post, and you do not want to have to mess with them. And just the strength of those two guys, with you've got Bryant out on the perimeter, and now you've got, you know, a decent point guard in Ramon Sessions. I mean, I really think this team is showing that they can step up to another level, and I think they're showing that they can do other things and make the rest of the team. Because, I mean, look, Kobe had 4 assists and 5 rebounds. I think that's Kobe contributing.
He could contribute a lot more.
He could, but does he need to? And that's the thing. I think the fact that this team shares the ball extremely well, you have to admit, they have some of the best, you know, best passing players in the league. I mean, that's what Gasol and Sessions are for. They're to help keep the ball moving. Even Bynum, he sacrificed scoring for blocks and rebounds last night.
I wouldn't call it sacrificing scoring. The guy only got to take 7 shots. I would say that's more of people weren't passing him the ball. Bynum was 5 of 7. Devin Ebanks, who steps in for, you know, Meta World Peace, who's basically almost suspended for this whole series. Devin Ebanks steps in, 5 of 6, 5 rebounds, and 12 points. 5 of 6. Why is this guy only playing 19 minutes when he's shooting 5 of 6? Give him the ball. Like, now, that's the problem with this team, is someone's hot and it's still Kobe's ball. It doesn't matter. Like, if Kobe really wants to win a championship this year and in these playoffs, they are going to steamroll the Denver Nuggets. That's not hard.
See, here's the thing. This is, you were going out, you were getting mad and defending, you know, Carmelo. I'm going to go on the other side. I'm going to defend Kobe. I'm going to defend Kobe because I think Kobe understands when he needs to turn on and when he doesn't. I think he's gotten to the point where he can realize that. You realize he also, I know this sounds silly, but him resting that last game of the season when he could have gotten the scoring title, I think is a big step for Kobe.
And that whole story shouldn't even be a story. I mean, it shouldn't be a story. But look at how many games he sat out during the season because of injury. He could have easily won that, I'm just saying.
I understand, but what I'm saying is, I think Kobe resting, and I think the fact that this team has gotten has looked like a different team since, number one, they got Sessions playing more consistently, and number two, Bynum playing the way he has. I'm scared of the Lakers right now. I think the Lakers are a scary team, because even if Gasol comes back and has one game of Pau Gasol for the past 2 years, there's no question that the Lakers are going to just dominate this series. and possibly the next series. I don't see a situation in which the Lakers don't make it to the Western Conference Finals this year.
Well, now they will have to go up against the Spurs, I believe, when they make it out of this round against the Nuggets. Spurs-Lakers should be a good one, and I really do believe that, because the Spurs are going to make it, and then we're going to probably, if you know, everything comes down right, we're going to see Clippers and Thunder, which I think the Thunder will dominate that one. But LA's easily going to beat Denver. I mean, come on, Denver played 12 guys last night. There is absolutely no reason for Jordan Hamilton, Julian Stone, or Timothy Mozgov to even step on that floor against the Lakers. I mean, JaVale McGee played 17 minutes. Get him off the floor. If he can't do anything except for foul someone, what is he, the Tom Pritchard of Denver Nuggets? Get him off the floor. Give his 17 minutes to someone who can actually do something. And why is Kosta Kuva starting? I'm sorry. Why is he starting?
Kosta Kuva should be starting. But here's what I'm saying. The alternative is putting JaVale McGee in extended minutes and making him a focal piece of anything. When the guy has tried to create shots where there are none, I don't like JaVale McGee. I just don't think he.
I don't like him either. But if you're gonna trade away your franchise center and pick up JaVale McGee, you kind of need to play him. I don't understand that. I don't understand how Kosta Kufis is actually starting in the NBA. This dude should have never came out of college.
Much less the playoffs.
He should have never came out of college after the first year at Ohio State, let alone, and then I'm pretty sure he was on the Jazz, and then he made his way over here somehow. Just get him off the floor. Like, 12 minutes. What is the point of him playing 12 minutes? Either way, Kenneth Faried, he did kind of what he does, 8 rebounds, 10 points. I mean, you need more rebounds out of him.
But Gallinari, that's what we're getting from Faried.
Yeah, Gallinari, 19 points. He's doing what he does. Lawson and Afolo, I mean, 9 and 7, respectively. And then the rest of their stat line, not really that great. I mean, 1, 2, 3 rebounds, assists, steals here. But I mean, why is Andre Miller not starting? I mean, I understand you need to bring people off the bench. But he had 8 rebounds, 7 assists, 12 points. He's the closest thing that they had to production besides Gallinari and Kenneth Faried. Why is he sitting on the bench playing 27 minutes?
I think it's concerning when you're giving, you know, I don't know. I think Andre Miller, again, is the guy who should be, you know. I would almost bring Aaron Aflalo off the bench to have Andre Miller with Ty Lawson. Other than I know Andre Miller can score and he can get what he needs to done. But it's ugly to see, you know, Nuggets. A team who I will say played really well. I just don't understand the lineup decisions.
Where's Wilson Chandler? I thought Wilson Chandler came back.
Yes, I don't know. I don't know. I was trying to figure that out myself. Where's Wilson Chandler?
Yeah, why is Wilson Chandler not playing? Did we miss something? Did we miss something as to why he injured? Where the hell is Wilson Chandler?
We'll check on that and we'll get back to it next show.
But I mean, on this team's rotation is just awful. Their bench depth is good, except for you don't have a starting five that's very good, so your bench depth doesn't really matter in that place. This is a team that really needs to switch around some of the starters or something, get some new people coming off that bench. They're going to get swept. Lakers are going to win this series 4-0 and move on to play San Antonio, and that's the end of that. I mean, there's no way Denver's winning a game.
Here's the news. Apparently, Wilson Chandler had a labral tear in his left hip and is out for the season.
Oh, cool.
That's what happened.
I didn't know that. So that's great. He goes and plays in China and plays really well and then comes over here and gets hurt. Interesting.
Yeah, that's disappointing. And especially since Chandler could have been one of those guys who really made a difference in the playoffs, and exactly. Actually made this series a little bit more competitive. But since he's not there, the Nuggets are going to get destroyed. Let's go back out east, and we're going to
no. Let's stay because now I want to talk Spurs. We talked I was talking up the Spurs. Let's talk Spurs real fast. Because okay. You want a team with bench depth? Here's your team. Here's your team. Manu Ginobili's coming off the bench.
Why? Well, Manu Ginobili's always come off the bench.
But I'm just saying, Manu Ginobili would be starting on any other team, and he's coming off the bench behind Daniel Green. Daniel Green, who no one heard of until this year. He's coming off the bench behind him. And he's
see why this is a problem, because honestly,
I'm just saying that's how much their depth is. That a guy who would start on any other team is coming off the bench. And he's not even the sixth man.
Steven Jackson is coming off the bench for this team.
And he's the sixth man. Steven Jackson's the sixth man, scoring 14 points. Matt Bonner is better than Kyle Korver. 9 points. Three 3-pointers. Ginobili had 7. Not his best game. 3 of 10. Give him that. But he did step somewhat up in other areas.
Boris Dia. Boris Dia is starting for them.
Yeah.
And Boris Dia had 9 points.
9 points. What Daniel Green is starting, and he only had 2. Kawhi Leonard only had 6 points. Why did Kawhi Leonard only take 5 shots? Why?
Kawhi Leonard is a guy who I think for years is going to be one of those Spurs guys. And he's the prototypical, he's going to be Bruce Bowen 2.0. If they can get him to be more of an on-ball defender, and they can turn him less, you know, trying to go for a steal or go for something like that, they can turn him into Bruce Bowen.
I'm scared.
And the fact that they basically played everybody that they had.
They did play everyone they have. Every single player on that team played at least 2 minutes. Dwan Blair only played 10. Why? Dwan Blair's only playing 10 minutes? Here's the thing. The Jazz are just as deep. Now, while they're a little bit younger and, you know, they're not as talented, they're still deep. But the biggest thing that I noticed here, Tim Duncan had 0 fouls last night. 0.
You saw he had 17 points and 11 rebounds.
You're not winning games if Tim Duncan's playing 31 minutes. You need to sit him on that bench. Like, why is Al Jefferson going? Why is Al Jefferson at 4 fouls and Tim Duncan doesn't have any? I mean, I know Al Jefferson isn't that great of a player, but come on, man.
Well, no, Al Jefferson this season has been surprisingly good, and he's been proving what he could live up to the potential of for the past couple of years. Al Jefferson, let's not get on Al Jefferson because he actually showed up this year.
That's okay. Paul Millsap, 20 points.
I'm going to say, here's the issue. I don't think the Jazz have enough quality players that they should be going as deep into their bench as they are.
No, I mean, Jamal Tinsley is your backup point guard. Really?
I know you are, again, jaded by the years of watching Jamal Tinsley frustrate us.
Watching? What do you mean watching? He took $10 million to go bake brownies or something. He got paid money. He got paid $5 million just to go play for the Grizzlies. They paid him to go play somewhere else. There was no watching. He didn't do anything. He was like TJ Ford in his last year of his contract. They sent him home.
But here's the thing. He has been productive with the Jazz. He has been he's been a good stalwart on their bench. And just because he didn't play well for the Grizzlies and the Pacers, he's actually been showing up on the Jazz.
Look at Gordon Hayward.
Let Tinsley be. Blake Abram, why is he playing?
Yeah,
Damari Carroll, why is he getting 22 minutes?
22. Derek Favors, getting 26.
At 26.
Ian's Cantor, he needs to get some playing time. I mean, and so is Alex Burks. They both need to get more playing time. You need to. I'm a firm believer in you need to play your rookies, especially in the playoffs. They need to get experience. How are you ever going to build a team if your players of the future are not playing? Why does Josh Howard need to be in this
team?
He doesn't.
Jeremy Evans should be playing more.
Yeah.
Why is Josh Howard starting?
I mean, this team is just like, is kind of like the Nuggets, where they just don't have that rotation down. Like, they have Millsap, Hayward, Jefferson, Harris. I like it. But then when you get to their bench minutes is not very well put together. I like Gordon Hayward. I wish, I really wish the Pacers would have took him. I mean, I'm glad we got Paul George, but Gordon Hayward is finally coming into his own. 12 free throws? That's impressive. That's impressive. Because I'm pretty sure this is his first playoff game, too.
Yeah, so, yeah, this is.
Yeah, so the, 12, I mean.
This series, I mean, well, let's get down to the nitty-gritty. This series is going to come down to the fact that we're playing two extremely deep teams, but you've got a veteran team versus an extremely youthful team. The Jazz are going to be here for years. We'll just put that out there. The Jazz are going to be here for a couple years. If they lock up Jefferson to a contract, which I actually think they should after the year he's had.
Yeah, and they definitely should. Jefferson. I mean, they were a point guard and a small forward away from having a legit starting five right now.
Well, and here's the thing. You keep Millsap and Jefferson, you are teaching Favors and Cantor what they can do for the next, 10 years. You are legitimately building your team just by keeping those guys. Now, are they going to beat the Spurs? Hell no. They're not. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. The Spurs are going to sweep them 4-0.
The Spurs will not lose. Danny Green is not going to have a 1-for-3 shooting game. Of course, now I'll say Tony Parker was lights out.
But I mean, that's been Tony Parker all year, though. That has been Tony Parker's MO all season.
Well, and here's the thing. Daniel Green is a guy who can step in and make shots. Kawhi Leonard is a guy who step in for Sia. I mean, you can just go straight down this roster. Any one of these guys would be a key bench guy.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of
teams. And Ginobili's not going to go 3-for-10 every game. He's not going to only score 7 points.
But again, the Spurs are a team that are so deep. You don't need to have everybody playing, A-plus game. You don't. You just need them to play roles. And this team is so deep that it's not being questioned. Now, when it gets to next series, and we'll talk next series when next series comes, I think the Spurs' depth causes problems for almost any other team that they play. The Jazz, I think, are setting themselves up. So I think this series, setting themselves up for the next couple of years. Getting their guys a little playoff experience. Put Josh Howard on the bench. Josh Howard's great, but he's not going to do you any good.
Yeah, his best years are behind him. Once he left the Mavericks, his best years are behind him.
I'm saying that their strength is to go for the young guys, get those young guys playoff experience. You're setting your team up for the next 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, I understand you want to play to win, but after this first game and you lose by 15 points, you should see that you're overmatched in every way, shape, and form. You don't call it in, but you do need to get some guys some experience in there. That kind of leads us over into the East, Boston and Atlanta. Boston kind of at that same point where they need to start getting some of these younger guys more experience. Etuan Moore, and this may sound like me, whining because I'm a Purdue fan, but Etuan Moore and Juwan Johnson didn't even play. Why in God's name is your first round pick not even playing a second of this game? What's the point?
Allen was out.
Yeah, and I mean, and then you got like Ryan Hollins didn't even play. Marquise Daniels didn't even play. Like, what is going on? Why? I mean, I understand Marquise Daniels is not part of the future, but Etuan and Juwan and Ryan Hollins, these are guys that should be getting some kind of playing time. And doing something, because Keon Dueling, 6 minutes, 2 points. Sasha Pavlovich, 6 minutes, 0 points. Petrus, 20 minutes, 0 points. Zero. What is going on? Greg Stimsma, 2 points. I mean, he had 9 rebounds, I give him that, in 19 minutes, but 2 points. You had 4 points coming off your bench. Why is Etuan Moore not playing? We've seen that guy shoot this year. I think he had 17 in one game. Why is he not playing?
And again, it's an issue of the fact that I still don't understand why, when the trade deadline came up, they did not pull the trigger on trading away the big three.
I understand why they didn't do it, because they wanted to make one more run. I could see this becoming, and I bet they weren't getting much. Because people knew they were trying to trade him away. And I think most of these guys are up at free agency, or they're going to be trying to deal them over the summer. I feel like because they are so old, the big three, people aren't willing to give up first-round picks for them. And
they actually, Pierce was going to be traded to the New Jersey Nets before they traded for Gerald Wallace. There was going to be Pierce going to the Nets, which would have been interesting because it would have been.
I would love to know who dropped that rumor, because there's no way in hell Paul Pierce is getting traded off that team before Kevin Garnett or Ray Allen. Paul Pierce gets traded. You're trading Paul Pierce nowadays would be like trading Larry Bird back in the 80s. You don't.
I will agree. I don't see any scenario where they get rid of him. But I think at least if you're Danny Ainge, you have to think about the fact that your team is basically playing nothing but veterans. This is the anti-Spurs team. They are playing, you know, four deep on their bench, basically two guys off their bench. You're having guys who are, you know, in their mid-30s playing 40 minutes a game.
Yeah, yeah. There's Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce playing 42 and 40 minutes, respectively. Whew, that should not be happening. That should not be happening.
Well,
And then you bring back in Ray Allen, he's going to play 36 to 40 minutes, too.
The bigger concern is Ray Allen's health. We don't know how Ray Allen's going to be when he comes back. And the question is he going to be really doing anything? I mean, Avery Bradley, I will give that kid all the credit in the world. He had 10 points, and he started this game. I think Avery Bradley is going to be a talented young player for them for a while, and he should have been getting more minutes for the past year. But
He's no Ray Allen.
He's no Ray Allen, and the thing is, I think it's too little too late for this team, and it concerns me because I don't see any scenario where this team is able to beat the Atlanta team that came out in game one.
And Atlanta's like that sneaky good team. Like, they can beat anyone on any given night.
But they can also lose to anybody.
They can lose to anyone on any given night. Joe Johnson, 3 of 15. That's not going to happen every game. He was 0 for 9 from 3-point range. You know, that's... unfortunately, Johnson, I still don't understand why they gave him a $102 million contract, because I do not even believe he's better than Josh Smith on this team, and he even doesn't play as much. But, you know, that streak won't last. Josh Smith, 22 points and 18 rebounds. That right there says it all.
4 assists.
Why is Josh Smith going without a contract right now? Why are the Atlanta Hawks this dumb? Yo, let's give Joe Johnson $102 million. Ah, Josh Smith, we'll worry about you when the time comes. But you are our best player. But we'll... Can we just get Josh Smith to the Pacers? Is there a way to do this? We'll give him. I'll give you David West for Josh Smith in a heartbeat.
No question. I think we could even... Let's throw Darren Collison in there. Give him a point guard.
Yeah. We'll take Kurt Heinrich back for you. We'll do that. We'll do that in a heartbeat. Heinrich's contract sucks.
Here's the question. I'm looking at the bench here.
What bench?
Tracy McGrady, 14 minutes. Willie Green, 10 minutes. Gennaro Pargo, 10 minutes. Marvin Williams, 14 minutes. Ivan Johnson, 15 minutes.
Well, they gotta play. I mean, you gotta rest your bench or your starting five. But when your bench is that bad, I mean, their bench is almost as bad as the Celtics.
No.
Yes, they are.
I will tell you. I will say Willie Green, Tracy McGrady. Tracy McGrady has been playing okay ball. Willie Green, Pargo. Somewhere he lost the ability to play basketball.
Probably when he came into the draft.
I'm getting over the point of the fact that there is nobody other than Ivan Johnson who is over 6'9".
It's awful. Scary. I mean, they did lose a lot when they lost Horford.
They lost their starting centers, and they also lost Zaza Pachulia, which Pachulia is the player that really gave Garnett fits, and those two played really, really ugly basketball last year.
Yeah.
They brutalized each other. Without those, you're basically losing your two stars. Now, I've been saying this for years, Horford needs to be at 4.
He does. They need to find a legit center.
They need to find a legit center, and they also need to trade either Smith or Horford. They need to decide what they're going to do because those guys are not.
If you move Smith into the small forward role, come on.
Smith does not like small forward role. He plays better ball in the power forward role. He's
But if he would man up and just play the small forward role, he would dominate anyways.
They tried to play him the small forward role. I'm not even going into that. We're gonna just say, I see Atlanta taking this series, barring Ray Allen having a renaissance and coming back.
This is gonna be five games.
You think five games?
Five games. The Boston's gonna take one in Boston, but Atlanta will close it out in Game Five at Atlanta, because Ray Allen is gonna come back and they are gonna have a game where it all comes together, and I think they will beat them because I mean it's really Jeff Teague, Josh Smith, Joe Johnson versus it's their three versus the other three. They only lost by 9 points. I mean, think about that. That's 9 points. Avery Bradley had 10. You can count on Ray Allen on a normal night. We don't know how healthy he is. On a normal night, Ray Allen's good for 20 points. Right there's your ball game. And the bench, Petrus isn't gonna go scoreless. You know, Stensma isn't gonna score just 2 points. Like, these guys will kind of step up come more games. Like, you're not gonna have this poor of a performance. And I think Avery Bradley coming off the bench will kind of rejuvenate that bench with him playing with it.
They need Avery Bradley off the bench. I mean, as good as a kid as he is, he's not ready yet to be a star. Each one more needs minutes. I think once they realize that they need to reach into their bench a little bit smarter, not deeper, but smarter, I think they can do a lot more. Here's the thing that I this is the thought I have. We both say Atlanta wins this series. I think they have a potential to get into the conference finals just by what's happened in the Chicago-Philadelphia series.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it'll be a good matchup. In Chicago, Derrick Rose, done for the year, torn ACL, with a minute to go in the game. You know, the big thing has been, why this game was wrapped up, why is he playing, why is he even out there? That's neither here nor there. It could happen to anyone, anytime. Just because there's a minute 20 left and them being up by 12, he's been out so much this year that you want to make sure, you want to get him more playing time. So I would never, because Thibodeau is their coach, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah. So I would never fault him for playing that guy, because that was a freak injury. Most of the time, ACL tears are freak injuries that you cannot help no matter what. And part of it could probably, how many ACL tears have we seen in like just the first playoff round? What is it, two now? Three?
It's scary. It's scary. Yeah.
I mean, it's all starting, that 66 games and 120 days is starting to catch up to everyone. The no training camp, the no mini camp, the no exhibition, it's all starting to catch up to them.
It's hurt rookies, you know, the franchise guys. They realize it's a mistake. And I really think that this whole confrontation between Billy Hunter and Derek Fisher is going to end with both of them leaving because they both screwed up.
Yeah, that was a poorly, poorly planned thing. Philadelphia. Can someone explain to me why Jody Meeks is starting?
Because Jody Meeks is one of the few players who can actually shoot.
Yeah? Then why do you only take one shot?
They're one of the poorest shooting three-point teams in the entire league.
No, I get that. But it's Jody Meeks played 11 minutes. He was a starter. He took one shot and it wasn't even a three. Jody Meeks is a three-point shooter. If you're not going to let him shoot three-point shots, don't put him on the floor. That's like playing Kyle Korver or Mike Miller. Like, yeah, they can score from other spots, but they can't do a ton else, and you really only want them out there shooting threes. Why is Evan Turner playing 30 minutes off the bench? Evan Turner needs to be out there on the floor with that starting five.
He doesn't play well with Iguodala, and this has been the issue the entire season, and this has been the issue why they're looking to move Iguodala in the offseason, because Evan Turner does the same thing Iguodala does, and they can't coexist.
I feel like this is the Pacers team with George and Granger. While they can coexist, they can't at the same time. They can play on the floor, but Iggy is always going to be that number one guy. He will never let the reins go until he leaves. And Turner is turning into that possible number one guy.
Well, and here's the thing. It, like the Pacers, they've got a lot of redundancies when it comes to their lineup. They've got a lot of guys who do the same things. And unfortunately, I don't think that's a good thing at all. I mean, Thaddeus Young and Sam Young, you've got two; those guys are both playing the same kind of ball for you. I mean, why is LaVoy Allen starting?
Yeah,
I understand Spencer Hawes.
Why is Thaddeus Young coming off the bench? Why is Spencer Hawes not playing more? This team is, I don't know.
It's a train wreck. I don't.
It really is.
Because this is a team that should and could be playing a lot better, and they're just simply not. I mean, it's
they did shoot 33 of 83 during the game. That's not very good.
Well, I mean, and again, I still think that it's a problem of they have too many players. They want to try to get minutes. Is there any reason why on your team you have 8 players playing more than 20 minutes? 8 players.
No. I mean, that's... To me, no. It's silly. And the Bulls, I mean... The 76ers aren't going to win this series. Even with Derrick Rose going down... The Bulls actually played not better, but they played just as well without him as they did with him. And so, but, considering...
But it was the end of the game.
I know.
It's the end of the game. It doesn't really matter at that point.
No. But what I'm saying is they played during the season without him. They played just as well as they did with him. It goes to show that while Rose steps that team up another notch, they can still get it done without him. And
we look back 1 year, Derrick Rose was the only reason the Bulls advanced.
But this team has come back huge. And, you know, with Ronnie Brewer stepping up, I mean, he didn't do anything last night, but he's been a big part of the game this year. Mike James, John Lucas, they've stepped in when he's gone down and picked up the slack. C.J. Watson's been in there. You know, Hamilton played 19 points, 6 of 7. That's pretty good. That's the old Richard Hamilton that we've seen before. Joakim Noah, you know, doing what he does, 13 rebounds, 12 points. Luol Deng doing what he does, 17 points. And then Carlos Boozer, again, doing what he does, 9 points and 7 rebounds. But these guys, yeah, I mean, you take away Derrick Rose's 23 shots and you've give them out to everyone else, and this team, they get those 23 points back. He took 23 shots for 23 points. They can just as easily make up those 23 points. The 9 assists,
I think,
not so much.
Tush Gibson could easily step in that role and score a couple more points. C.J. Watson, get a couple more minutes. Either Mike James or Don Lucas. I mean, heck, I'd even play Jimmy Butler a little bit. Point. They're deep enough at the point that they know if Derrick Rose goes down, they got a couple guys who can come off the bench and split the minutes. I think it comes down to the Bulls are they're just a better overall team, and they understand their roles a lot better than Philadelphia does. I don't think Philadelphia has designated roles, and I think that's a lot to do with coaching. You know, love Doug Collins, but I don't know.
And I do too. And I mean, this team, like you said, it's going to get really interesting because they will take on the Atlanta Hawks next round. But I feel like this team, their bench depth is exactly where you want it. They have a bunch of role players. They don't have any me-first guys on this team. They do exactly what is asked of them. and they can, anybody at any time can step up for this team and produce. And that's what I love about their bench, because one game you can have Asik go off, you can have Brewer go off, Gibson go off, John Lucas go off, Jimmy Butler go off, Mike James go off. You never know who is going to step in there and fill that hole that Derrick Rose has left with his injury. Anyone at any time can come in there and easily take over for him. And that's why this team is the number one team in the league.
Now, the question for me is, I mean, I still say the rotation of Lou Williams and Jrue Holiday are going to still cause them a lot of issues. And I don't see Lou Williams going 1-for-6 again.
I was going to say, Lou Williams had a really, really, really bad game. 2 assists, 2 steals, a rebound, and 9 points, but all those points came off free throws. Yeah, he's not going to have a game like that every time, but I don't know. I mean, Jrue Holiday tore it up and tore up Derek Williams by dropping 16 on him with 7 rebounds. But I don't know. I feel like that your one point guard position, while you may have to put in Watson and Lucas and James and stuff like that, yeah, you're going to lose a little bit. You're not going to lose that much. They already know what it's like to play without Derek Williams. They have basically They've basically practiced this the whole season, because he only played in, what, 39 games or something like that? He sat out almost half the year. They know exactly what to do without him, and I really think that's going to shine through. They're going to take Philadelphia. They're going to wipe the floor with them. Because I feel like this team's now going to step up. They're going to step up to prove that they don't need Derrick Rose, because that's going to be the stigma.
Series is still going 6 games, though.
No, 4-game sweep, done.
You call a sweep? I'm calling it 6 games
because. Thing leading up during this whole series is going to be, yeah, they got it done during the regular season, but can these guys come together to get it done during the playoffs when it matters most? And can they win a championship without Derrick Rose? Can they beat the Heat without Derrick Rose? They're going to win this series, and they're going to beat the Hawks.
I don't think they beat the Hawks. I'm telling you right now, I'm penciling the Hawks in the conference finals.
That'll be what we discuss once we get through the first round. But that's my prediction: Chicago Bulls in 4 with a sweep.
Okay, so to sum it up, we're saying Spurs, Lakers, Thunder in a tough series.
Yeah, I took the Clippers, and you took Memphis, and then we both have Chicago, Miami, Indiana. And then we both took the Hawks. So I mean, we only differ on one game, Clippers, Memphis, but
one series, yeah. And like I said, really that all depends on what happens in Game 2. I think Game 2 is going to make a lot of things really clear. Do the Grizzlies come out fighting? Do the Clippers still manage to perform that magic that Chris Paul can do? I mean, Is there something here that we're not seeing? And again, with the injuries, I'm also concerned that we're going to see another major injury in the first round.
Yeah, and I do too. I think injuries are going to plague the playoffs. I really do. We've already seen enough of it. I think the guys' bodies are wearing down now, and now they're being basically asked to play more minutes, to play even harder, because it is the playoffs. And I think these guys do take it more seriously. They're not relaxed. They go out there and play a lot tougher. And I think we are going to start seeing more ACL tears, more broken bones. It's going to get bad. I really do believe that too.
Okay, underrated player of the first round, go.
Can we really say anyone yet? I mean, we're only 2 games into 3 of the things. I think that's something you save for the end of the first round.
Okay.
You just can't have an underrated player when you're only 2 games into 3 of the series.
Fair enough.
Who's technically underrated? Yeah, that's a good question to save when we come back. We'll keep updating the playoffs, but we'll definitely come back in, take a look at round 1, previews and round 2 stuff. We're
gonna keep it shorter after the first round, I promise.
Yeah. Well, we won't have 8 series to go over either. So, we'll be good to go there, or six series, whatever it is. Yeah, that's going to do it for the show. This has been basically the first round preview slash review of the first couple games. Check us out, www.thesportschatwithaz.com website. Check us out over there. We're blogging almost every day. Sometimes it can't get done, but we do have updated stuff over there. Check out the podcast. Check us out on Twitter, Sports Chat. We also have a Facebook fan page. That's also just Sports Chat. Sports Chat. And want to thank Dirty 30, the band whose music we get to use for the intro outro on this. So shout out to them. You can check their webpage out on Facebook as well. Listen to some of their music. See where they're going to be playing next. Stuff like that. And yeah, that's going to do it though. So I want to thank everyone for listening. I've been your host, Matt Muncy. And apparently Brock Stafford is gone. So thanks for listening.